Chapter 22. Despite her occasional doubts about Willoughby's constancy, Eleanor could not witness the delightful expectation of her sister without feeling how cheerless her own state of mind was in comparison. However, she dared not show that she was miserable. Edward's engagement to Lucy Steele still had to remain a secret. Mrs. Jennings lived in a handsome house in Berkeley Street, where the young ladies were given a comfortable apartment. As soon as they arrived, the Miss Dashwoods began writing letters. Eleanor to her mother, and Marianne to Willoughby, a brief note, which she sent immediately. Marianne was so excited she could scarcely eat any dinner, and listened anxiously to the sound of every carriage in the street for a sign of Willoughby's arrival. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door.
"Oh, Eleanor, it's Willoughby, it must be,"
exclaimed Marianne, rushing to the door, ready to throw herself into his arms. However, it was not Willoughby, but Colonel Brandon. Marianne could not conceal her shock and disappointment, and she immediately left the room. Eleanor felt that it was unfair of Marianne to treat him so rudely, whilst the Colonel was concerned to see Marianne's distress. "Is your sister ill?" he asked. Eleanor attempted to excuse Marianne's behaviour by telling Colonel Brandon that she had been complaining of a headache and was tired from the journey. They maintained a polite but awkward conversation. Both of them were out of spirits, and their thoughts engaged elsewhere. Colonel Brandon did not stay long. The next morning, Marianne was more cheerful, and seemed for a while to have forgotten her disappointment. After the breakfast, the ladies were visited by Mrs. Palmer, with whom they went out to some shops in town. However, all morning, Marianne was restless and dissatisfied. She was vexed at the tediousness of Mrs. Palmer, and could think of nothing but Willoughby. As soon as they returned home, Marianne flew upstairs to see if Willoughby had called, but to her disappointment he had not. "How very odd," she said in a low voice. "How odd indeed," repeated Eleanor within herself, regarding her sister with uneasiness. "If he is in town, how odd that he should neither come nor write." After some consideration, she decided that if Willoughby did not make contact within a few days, she would write to her mother and advise her to make some serious inquiries about him. Chapter 23. "If this good weather holds much longer," said Mrs. Jennings, when they were at breakfast the following morning, "Sir John will not want to leave Barton next week. Sportsmen like him always want to be out in the country in such charming weather." "That is true," cried Marianne in a cheerful voice. "I had not thought of that. This weather will keep many sportsmen in the country." Her good spirits were restored by the thought that the reason Willoughby had not called was that he was out of town. After that, Marianne was all the time busy in observing the direction of the wind and hoping for bad weather. Apart from Willoughby's absence, the Miss Dashwoods had no reason to be dissatisfied in London. Mrs. Jennings invariably behaved towards them with kindness and ensured their comfort. They were visited almost every day by Colonel Brandon. He came to look at Marianne and talk to Eleanor, who derived satisfaction from their conversations, but was concerned by his continued regard for her sister. His spirits were certainly worse than when at Barton. About a week after their arrival, it became certain that Willoughby was also arrived. His card was on the table when they came in from the morning's drive. "Good God!" cried Marianne. "He has been here while we were out." "Depend on it, he will call again tomorrow," Eleanor assured her. But Marianne, in her state of high excitement, seemed hardly to hear her. The next day, however, Willoughby did not call again. A letter arrived, but it was from Sir John, informing them of the Middletons' arrival in London, and inviting them to a ball at their house in Condrey Street. They accepted the invitation, though Eleanor had some difficulty in persuading her sister to go, for she had still seen nothing of Willoughby, and did not wish to run the risk of his calling again in her absence. As expected, Marianne did not enjoy the ball at all. She had never been so unwilling to dance in her life, and on the way home complained of how she was fatigued by the exercise. "We know the reason for that," said Mrs. Jennings. "If a certain person had been there, you would not have been a bit tired. To say the truth, it was not very pretty of him not to come when he was invited." "Invited?" cried Marianne. "Yes, my daughter Lady Middleton told me. It seems Sir John met him in the street this morning." Marianne said no more, but looked exceedingly hurt. Eleanor now felt suspicious of Willoughby's inconstancy, and resolved to write to her mother the next day. Her letter was scarcely finished when Colonel Brandon called, looking unusually grave. Marianne, who in her wretched state hated company of any kind, left the room before he entered it. He sat for some time without saying a word. Then, in a voice of some agitation, he asked Eleanor when he was to congratulate her on the acquisition of a brother. Eleanor had no answer ready, and asked him what he meant. "Your sister's engagement to Mr. Willoughby is very well known," he replied. "It cannot be generally known," returned Eleanor, "for her family do not know it." He looked surprised, and apologized for his impertinence. "I had not supposed any secrecy was intended, since their marriage is universally talked of. I have heard it mentioned by many, including those with whom you are most intimate, Mrs. Jennings, Mrs. Palmer, and the Middletons. I came to inquire, is everything finally settled? I'm sorry. I know that I have no right, and I could have no chance of succeeding, but I hardly know what to do. I must know the truth." It was clear to Eleanor that Colonel Brandon was in love with Marianne. She herself now felt uncertain about the real state of things between Willoughby and her sister, but she was convinced that Marianne's affection for Willoughby could leave Colonel Brandon with no hope of success. She told him, therefore, that although she had no evidence that they were engaged, she had no doubt of their mutual affection. Colonel Brandon listened to her with silent attention, and then rose from his seat. "To your sister, I wish all imaginable happiness. To Willoughby, that he may endeavour to deserve her." With those words, he left.